Hallelujah. We want to continue again in some of the end time things. I know that some of the word has sounded rather negative that we've probably brought in the past. We talked about the day of slaughter. It was not a very positive word, perhaps, depending on your way of thinking. We talked about the coming storm. But I want to look at some just wonderful provision that God, I believe, is going to make for us in these difficult times. Oh, there is so much in the Word of God. I mean, we could take an hour just on Psalm 91, and maybe we ought to do that soon again. Just go through that, and this is the Word of the Lord. This is the promise of the Lord. And you know, brethren, the covenant of the Lord is with those who call upon His name. Those who believe in the Lord have a right, amen, to the promises of God. The promises of God are not for the wicked. They're not for the unrighteous. Amen. The only promise for the wicked and the unrighteous is for their destruction. Hallelujah. But let us take a few verses here. Perhaps you've heard them before recently, but let's hear them again, what God is saying in this hour and in this day. In Luke 21, I believe we just want to remind ourselves again of a couple of verses here. Verse 34, I believe we can see. And again, I see Luke 21 as being something very equivalent to Matthew 24, where Jesus is bringing much end-time teaching, much end-time word. Verse 34, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." Now this is advice to us, that we are to take heed, that we are to watch our soul. We are to watch over our mind. We are to watch over our emotions. We are to watch over our desires. We are to watch over our will. We are to set them on the Word of God, that we not be taken up with the things of this life and even with the troubles that we see coming on this world. My goodness. You know, the more I hear about the troubles that are coming on this world, you would say, "Well, brother, you should be getting more and more afraid." No, I'm not. I'm getting less and less afraid. Amen. I'm getting more and more comfortable with the place that we're going to be in God when that time comes. Amen. I'm getting more and more positive. Amen. I mean, yes, we understand the principle of laying our life down. You know, someone has said, "Oh, all you do is talk about chopping heads off and martyrdom and this type of thing." Well, praise the Lord. I'm looking more and more forward to that day when we can give all that we have to our Lord and to our Savior. My goodness, I'm getting tired of the things of this world. I'm getting tired of the rottenness and the wickedness of this world system. It is so corrupt. It is so rotten. There is not any soundness whatsoever in it. Just hearing about politics, it's not just politics in Kenya, brethren. It's politics in America that's rotten.
You said it.
Oh, hallelujah. They get up and they lie. I mean, why bother with their speeches? It's all lies anyway. My goodness, these people that are running for these offices, they're managed by handlers. Did you know that? Did you see that email that came that this fellow from Chicago that's running for presidency? His total background is he's a Muslim, but he's joined the church. But I haven't heard that he's renounced Islam. How about if you're really serious about it, if you've been brought up in Islam, you're going to get up and publicly renounce Islam. Oh, well, they're politicians. They don't do that. No, they want to play both sides. Well, I'm just talking about the rottenness of the system that we're in. You know who I'm talking about. I don't have to say the name.
Obama?
Yes.
Obama.
You got another one that it was a false statement? Well, they said that they had checked that out on Sculpt.
They said it smoked, but it came back. They said you should check out your information before you pass it on because it was...
Oh, I didn't even read the second one. I thought it was just a duplicate of the first one. Yeah.
Came out and said he was not a Muslim.
Well, that's praise the Lord, then. I'm glad for that, then.
He said what?
He said he was not a Muslim.
Obama said that?
Well, that's good to hear him publicly denounce it then.
He didn't denounce it.
He didn't denounce it. He just denied it.
He was not a Muslim.
He didn't say he never was a Muslim.
No, he didn't say that.
Okay. Well,
he joined the church that he belonged to. I forgot the name of the church, though.
Yeah, I understand. He joined the church. Well, I'm just saying that politicians, you know, don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you see. It can't be trusted. And in some of these countries, when the guy loses office, they get their team out and they start shooting it out. I am tired of this world system, brethren. I have no claim on this world. I have no claim on the politics that goes on in this world system. If I were to vote, I would vote for the better of two evils. Why would I vote for an evil? Well, that's just my own thinking. You think the way you want to think. I'll tell you, if there was something decent that were running, I might be interested. Well, let me go on. Take heed to yourselves at any time your hearts be overcharged with these things. My heart isn't going to get overcharged. I guess you can overcharge batteries, can't you? You charge a battery with too much juice and it's likely to blow up. Let your hearts not be overcharged. Amen. With surfeiting and drunkenness. Now, we talked about this before, didn't we? It seems like we talked about this last week, didn't we? Amen. Let us be careful of the doctrines that we're going to be drinking of. Amen? Natural and spiritual. And let us not be involved in the natural drunkenness. You know, this is what the world is doing. Isn't this some big weekend for some big ball game or something?
I don't know.
I mean, I see the supermarkets are all selling these party things, and I saw a big cake in the supermarket that had the name of some big team on, written all over the cake, you know. Well, it was Patriot, I think it was. Is this a big Super Bowl weekend or something? Is this the biggie?
No.
Why are they selling all these snacks and stuff at some... Oh, they're leading up to it. I see. Well, this is all this hearts be overcharged with the things of this world. I don't keep track of it. I don't know who these guys are. Amen? For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Did you notice that it says the whole earth? I'm telling you, brethren, the things that we're reading about going on in Kenya, Uganda, the Mideast, it shall come upon the whole earth. The face of the whole earth. United States of America. New York State. Amen? Capital District, New York State. Put it right down where we live. Name all your little villages here. If you want, add them in there. Schenectady, Albany. This snare shall come upon all mankind. I said I was going to be positive. Let me get through this, and I'll get to the positive part. Here it is. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. Now, is this a schizophrenic statement?
No.
First of all, he says it's going to come upon the face of the whole earth. But then he says, watch and pray that you be accounted worthy to escape all these things. that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. In other words, he's saying these things must be. The destruction of the wicked must be. The annihilation of unrighteousness, it's one of the things in the book of Daniel. Remember the 70 weeks of Daniel? Why? What was the purpose of that 70 weeks? One of them, and there were seven purposes, one of them was to eliminate unrighteousness from the earth. And so, brethren, when we see these things begin to happen, we must understand this is God's way of wiping out wickedness from off the face of this earth. But he's made an escape clause for us. Watch and pray. How do we get into that escape clause? By just naming it and claiming it? Oh, I'm a believer. I'm exempt. No, it's not just naming it and claiming it. How are we going to know that we're in that company that can escape all these things? By watching and praying. All right, now, you know how to pray, don't you? How do you pray? What is prayer all about? I wasn't going to talk about prayer today, but what is prayer? How many of you pray without ceasing? How many of you are just going around constantly in communion with the Lord? Well, maybe not consciously, but it's always there. It's always there. Everything that comes up in life, you're thinking, oh Lord, what about this? Oh Lord, what do you think about that? It's like He's always there. It's not necessarily that we're always on our face, okay, pleading with the Lord and weeping and crying. We're not always in that position. I mean, that's praying too. If you need to be there, get down there. Amen? If you need to bow your body as well as your heart before the Lord, then get down. But the Lord hears the cry of your heart no matter where you are and under what circumstance you are. He hears the cry of your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we know how to pray. How do you watch? We ever talked about watching? How do you watch, brother?
I watch and see what's happening in the earth and in the land and the world and line it up with God's word.
Amen.
And the scripture says the spiritual is on all things.
Hallelujah.
We keep
our mind focused on the kingdom of God. That's watching. You know, I think we have to watch over our own soul too, don't we? We have to watch over our thoughts. How many of you know that we have to watch our thoughts?
Amen.
Amen? Thoughts come in from where? Some of them come from the enemy, don't they? They give suggestions. You're no good. Why don't you go ahead and do thus and thus? As soon as we're aware that these thoughts are coming, this thought is not from the Lord. And you might just as well just come right out and say, look, I bind the source of these thoughts. I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I am not going down there. Hallelujah. Distractions. Hallelujah. We see something with our eyes that distracts us. My God, I am not going down that path. I'm not going to be thinking and following the trail of where that thing goes. Watch and pray that you be counted worthy to escape all these things. There's another verse in Thessalonians. And again, I think I may have read that recently, but let's go over it again. And I want to give you... here we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're talking about the times and seasons, brethren. You have no need that I write to you, For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. In other words, this day of the Lord. By the way, the day of the Lord is not just a 24-hour day. You know that. The day of the Lord is a period of time. It's a season of time. It's the whole end time events that are leading up to the coming of the Son of Man. By the way, that passage in Luke is that we might be able to stand before Him in that day. Who has a standing before the Son of Man? Those with a clean heart. Amen. Those with clean hands. Pure heart. Hallelujah. Those are those who have standing before the Lord.
And what verse do you want
to testify? Now I'm on chapter 5. For yourselves perfectly know that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Who's going to escape? Who's not going to escape? See, there's the escape clause. The escape is for those who trust in the Lord. But those who will not escape are those who are saying what? Peace, peace, safety, safety. You know, let me suggest a possible scenario. If we have an all-out situation of war, and I believe there is some kind of a storm coming, destruction. It's coming to America as well. It's going to come upon the whole face of the earth. Okay? It's going to be very disruptive. Very disruptive. It's going to disrupt our lives substantially. The flow of electric power, I think, is going to be disrupted by this type of thing. Terrorists, they'll go after it if that's the one that's initiating this thing. The food supply, it's going to be disrupted. Now, I'm not trying to be negative. I want to show you the positive side here. These things are going to be disrupted. Transportation, disrupted. Name it. The financial system, banking, disrupted. Bank holidays, even if the banks are still around. And you know, people are going to scream, we want our life back. And you know what? This is my scenario. This is not thus saith the Lord. I believe that in that situation, that when people are going to start crying, they want their life back, we want to live the way it always has, that there's a man going to stand up, sponsored by the UN, sponsored by the Roman Catholic Church. He's going to stand up and he's going to say, I'll give you what you want. I'll bring peace and safety back to this world. But all you nations are going to have to subject yourself under my dominion. And we're going to have one world order. And we're not going to have any more of this quarreling among religion. We're all going to have one religion and you're going to come under one pope.
Well, that's loud.
That, I believe, is a very realistic scenario. That will come to pass. It says when they say peace and safety, that's the campaign. I mean, the politicians are saying that now. Peace and safety. Vote for me and I'll bring peace and safety. Funny thing is, as soon as they get in office, there's a war. And they send the troops out just as much as the other guy did. Oh well, peace and safety. They'll say it anyway. It's a popular theme, isn't it? Alright, let me go on here. It says, sudden destruction cometh upon them. It sounds like a second wave of sudden destruction, doesn't it? There's destruction, there's war, somebody offers peace and safety, and then sudden destruction comes again. Well, anyway, moving along. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. God is saying you have an escape clause. You don't have to be among the darkness. Hallelujah. Ye are children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, we're talking about spiritual sobriety here, aren't we? But we're also talking about natural sobriety. You cannot be involved in the natural realm of drinking and drugs and that type of thing and be spiritually sober at the same time. You can't do it. The two of them do not go together. Amen? For they that sleep... See, the whole passage here is ye versus they. They are going to fall into destruction. You, there's a way out for you. Amen? They that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. Why are the bars doing their biggest business in the evening and in the nighttime hours? Why? Because it's activity of night. It's activity of darkness. And by another thing, and by the way, it's been years since I've been in a bar, but why are the lights always way down low? If somebody were ever to come in there and turn on a whole bunch of fluorescent lights, it would drive everybody out. Why? Because what they're doing is activity of darkness. Isn't it?
Seedy.
What is it?
Seedy.
Seedy. Yeah, that's a good word too. Seedy. Amen? But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Why? For God has not appointed us to wrath. That means He has appointed wrath to the unrighteous elements of this world. God is going to deal with it. God is finally going to deal with this world's unrighteousness, wickedness that's been going on for 6,000 years. He's going to deal with it in finality. There have been warnings. There has been a flood in the days of Noah. There was destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. God was speaking clearly. Amen. He sent the children of Israel in to destroy the nations of Canaan that had become so corrupt that there was no redeeming trait whatsoever left in them. He said, they're gone. They're hopeless. Go on in and wipe them out. He used that the nation Israel as His instrument to do it. Now, I'm not sure what all God's instruments are going to be, but I know He's going to do the job, and He's going to do it thoroughly. He's going to do it completely this time around. The Word of God clearly prophesies, amen, that there must be a seventh Sabbath day of rest upon the earth. Hallelujah. The earth must have her seventh millennium Sabbath. Amen. And it is going to be ruled by the Lord Himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And brethren, that word salvation means more than just accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and that's it, no more needed. Salvation means the fullness of our salvation. And you know, brethren, my salvation is not finished, amen, until all my enemies are gone. Gone, under our feet, under the Lord's feet, amen, in the abyss. That is the finality of our salvation. And I believe that principle was understood right throughout the Old Testament. I think when David talked about his salvation, he was talking about the elimination of his enemies. I believe it was understood. Let's go to the Old Testament now and begin to look at some of the examples of how God has kept His promise to the righteous. Amen? Sustain them through every kind of difficulty you can ever imagine. This may take some time. We may not be able to finish this in one time. Hallelujah. We'll go over to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. And when we say Genesis 6, you know immediately where we're going. We're going to Noah. And I'm not going to study the whole situation of Noah. You've heard plenty from me about Noah already. But if we go to Genesis 6, let's just look down here. By the way, verse 13, you're so familiar with this. And I think the Lord is saying this again in this day and in this generation. God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Do you understand the holiness of God? You know something? I don't think we have any idea how holy God is. We say we do. We like to think that we do. But are you aware of how bright the light of His holiness truly is? You could not stand before the brightness of His holiness. Why? Because there is absolutely no shadow in Him. There is not the slightest bit of darkness. Total, pure, 100% light. And when you try to look at something with your natural eyes that is so totally pure light, what's going to happen to your eyes? You'll go blind. I was reading in a book about the nuclear bombs. And if you were actually able to be close enough to the one to see and look directly at the flash of light, they go blind. Now, they don't always go permanently blind, but they go blind. You go blind for several days by looking at the white of that light. And Bernie understands something about welding. He's been a welder for many, many years. And why is it that you wear that big old helmet on your head, brother? It's the same principle, so that you don't have to look directly at the intensity of the brightness of that light. Why? Because it'll destroy your retina. It'll burn it. If you keep looking at it, it'll permanently burn it. That is how holy God is. What is our desire? My desire is to be holy like Him. Now, I can't make myself that way, can I? I can say, I found some new laws. I'm going to keep a whole bunch of new laws. Oh, I'm going to go back and keep old laws. I mean, I can start keeping and doing all this stuff, and it's all my effort. I am not coming to the holiness of God. I have to call upon Him and say, "My God, make me holy. Teach me to be holy, dear Lord. Teach me in every aspect of life, every decision I make. I want to make it in purity and in holiness." You know, we make decisions that have mixed motives. Well, this would probably be the right thing, but it'll benefit me a little bit too. And that'll really be good for me. How many of you make decisions like that? You think about that sometimes. When you make this, sometimes when we open our mouth, we think about that. How is this going to benefit me? Is this truly righteousness? Is this the purity of God? Is this the way God would speak to that situation? Well, they're not going to like me very much if I say that. So you see what I'm saying is, we have a little shadow in us. And that shadow is why we're not as bright as He is. You know what's going to happen when we start taking on the brightness of the nature of Jesus Christ? Other people aren't going to like us. We're going to be the world's enemy. Hello? They'll call us the new terrorists. Get away from me. Who was telling me the story that they were in a car with a fellow one time? Was it Seth telling the story? The guy was a preacher, but he had darkness in him. And they were driving along in the back seat of this car. All of a sudden, this so-called preacher, big name of some sort, came to a stoplight. He jumps out of the car and fled. He couldn't stand the presence of the person he was with. And you know, I hate to tell you this, but this happens sometimes in marriage when one of them gets saved and the other one doesn't. The brightness of the nature of the Lord makes the one so uncomfortable, you're either going to have to yield to it or they flee. And many times they flee. It's sad. I think this is what it meant when Jesus said, I think not that I've come to bring peace, but a sword. And the sword cuts right down through the family. Sometimes one sister in a family comes to the Lord. Another one says, "No, I don't want it." And what does it do? The sword comes right down through. separate, division. Well, I'm trying to be positive today, brethren. Let me go on here. Verse 17 in this same chapter. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons with thee. Amen. What is he saying here? He said, I am going to destroy earth. Earth means what? Spiritually, the word earth. It means carnal realm, flesh realm. Wickedness is attracted to flesh and carnality. I am going to destroy all that. But, what did he say? When the word but appears, what does that mean? That means there's an escape clause for those who have a covenant. Didn't he use the word covenant here? He says, but with thee will I establish my covenant. What kind of a covenant was this? I think it was a covenant that didn't end with Noah. It was a principle now that he's laying down. He said, I will establish. That means it's beginning. Those that will call upon my name, those that will be righteous before me. Amen? Those that will be faithful, I will preserve when I destroy the wickedness round about you. In other words, God doesn't have to rapture us to deal with the wicked. Amen? All He has to do is cover us over, provide a means of escape for us. Amen? He does not have to remove us. But with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark. Amen. How many of you know that we are coming into an ark today? Where is the ark, brethren? Where is the ark of Moses now? This was the ark of Noah. Where is the ark of Moses? It's in the Holy of Holies. How many of you know that we are going to have to come through the veil into the Holy of Holies? Hallelujah. What did John see? He saw the heavenly tabernacle and the door was open. And inside, he saw the Ark of the Covenant, didn't he? Hallelujah. End time things. The door open. Access to the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. The last piece of furniture. Hallelujah. Thou and thy sons, thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. What is he doing here? He's extending it to the family of the righteous. You know, maybe some of Noah's sons might not have been as deserving as Noah was. Yet, he said, I have a covenant with you. And because I've made a covenant with you, therefore your children come under that covenant as well. The seed of the righteous. So God said He was establishing a covenant with His righteous servant. Amen. Let me go on now. Let's come down to Exodus, the 16th chapter. I'm just going to take some highlights here. My goodness, the whole Bible speaks of the faithfulness of God to His people. And I can see that we're not going to make the whole round here today. Exodus 16. Oh my. Let's start in Exodus 12. Okay, before we get to 16. Let's start with the Passover. Now, what's happening again here in the Passover, in the 12th chapter? The plagues are being unleashed by God, not by Mother Nature. Amen? How many of you know Mother Nature had nothing to do with this? Who in the world is Mother Nature anyway? Nobody I know. My God is in control, not Mother Nature. Some New Age phenomena. Mother, indeed. Well, anyway, God is unleashing plagues upon Egypt. What is Egypt? What does Egypt speak of? The world. Egypt is the world. What did God say He was going to do to the whole world? He's going to bring them under judgment. And so here again is another type, very similar to what happened in the days of Noah. The world is being judged. Why? In particular, why here? Because of the oppression that they have brought to God's people. How many of you know the world brings oppression to God's people? How many of you know they bring persecution to God's people? How many of you know even religion that joins with the world brings oppression and persecution to God's people? Well, here we go. So now, we get into the 12th verse here.
Chapter 12, verse 12.
We're talking about the Passover now. He's giving them an escape clause for this last plague. Okay? The last plague is the most devastating. The last plague is the one that is going to bring death to every family. Every household is going to see death in this one. Okay? And he says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night." What were we reading back in Thessalonians? Who are those who are of the night? Those who are of Egypt. Those who do not see this coming. They're of the night. And so this is a night activity. Creatures of the night are going to be destroyed this night. Amen? Night devils, night demons are going to be out. Amen. Hallelujah. "I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt." What is the firstborn of Egypt? Spiritually speaking, the sons, the best. Firstborn is considered the prime. What is the firstborn of the world? The politicians, the bright ones, the smart ones, the chief millionaires, the industrialists, the bankers, the ones that move, I call them the movers and the shakers, the ones that set the policy and the destiny of the nations. These are the firstborn. Some of them are hidden. You don't know who they are. The ones who are in the rulers. Who are the firstborn, so to speak, of the religious systems? The big ones. The superintendents. The popes. The bishops. What have you. Firstborn. God says, "I'm coming after the firstborn first of Egypt." Amen? Both man and beast. Amen? In the natural, it included beasts. Spiritually, you know what a beast is. A beast is one that doesn't have the soul quickened by the Spirit. It has no connection whatsoever to God. There are men who are beasts. Paul said that he fought in Ephesus with beasts in the similitude of men, I believe it says. Isn't that the way it says it? In other words, they were men, but spiritually they were beasts. And he was fighting, they made war against him. Hallelujah. Both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. So he's going to include the spirits that are behind this thing too. How many of you know, we ought to do a teaching on the plagues again. My goodness, it's been something like 20 years since we went through all those 10 plagues. And how they came against, there were gods behind every one of these that were brought down. Gods mean unclean spirits. Some of which principalities, powers that were behind every one of these. False gods that they worship, gods bringing them down. Wonder what the gods are of our time and our generation that God is going to bring down. Amen? How about the god of worship of sports? God of worship of Hollywood. My goodness, the things that are our gods. The God of money. Go on and on. God of sex. God of pleasure. God of drunkenness. Drugs. My. What people are giving their soul and their life to in this day and age. Violence. Gods. They're bringing them down.
Knowledge,
yes. Oh, yes. Intellectual gods. These universities are full of them. Wickedness. Atheists. My, oh my. Hallelujah. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. I like the way he finishes this. I am the Lord. Oh my. Such a signature at the end of that statement. I am the Lord. Not only is he saying, I am the Lord, he's saying, I am. I am. What's your name? Moses asked. Who will I tell Pharaoh is demanding all this? Tell him, I am. Oh, I love it. I love the I am. Don't you? Hallelujah. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. Oh, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. What is the escape clause, again, for God's people? What was the token of deliverance for them? The blood. What did Jesus say? He said, watch and pray. Now, I believe it has to be assumed that the blood is there. You have to be under the blood. Brethren, let's say that one of the children of Israel decided that this was too confining, too constraining to remain in this house. I want to be out in the streets. This is my night to play poker with my buddies. I'm not going to miss the poker game. We have a good time. Enough of this Moses talk. Blood all over the place. Blood, blood, blood. Why do we have to talk about blood all the time? Blood. Do you know the New Age people don't like to talk about blood? Somebody tells me they don't like that. Well, maybe they do with their goats and their things that they do, but not the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is very offensive. And so this blood of the Lamb was a token and a picture and a type of Jesus Christ. So I tell you what, brethren, in order to have your escape from this destructive plague, you are going to have to remain under the blood.
That's right.
Now, to remain under the blood means that your life and your activities are going to have to be in line with the covering of the covenant of the blood. This blood is a covenant again, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is.
He spoke covenant to Noah. He's speaking covenant to his people again now. Yes. Covenant in the blood. He spoke covenant to Abraham.
That's
what?
Right.
There was cutting and there was a flow of blood.
Right.
Covenant that he made. And so, we will be able to escape if we are covenant-walking people.
Oh, yes.
Not just covenant-talking people.
Thank you.
But covenant-walking people.
That's right.
You can't, in other words, that night of the Passover, you couldn't be out at your Egyptian neighbor's house where there was no blood and say, well, I'm a covenant man. I'm a covenant man. No harm going to be done to me. I'm covenant man. No, that isn't going to work. You have to be where the blood is.
Thank you. Hello. Talk about it.
Okay. So, there was a way out for them when I smite the land of Egypt. God said, when I smite the land of Egypt. Don't go blaming Moses. He's just my spokesman.
Uh-huh.
He's just my mouth.
Hello?
I'm the one that's going to smite Egypt.
Thank you.
And you know what? Pharaoh is going to figure it out finally.
Yeah.
That it wasn't Moses.
Thank you.
Yeah. He's going to figure it out that it was God.
Thank you.
That did it. God defeated his gods. He could not save his firstborn son.
Right. There you go.
The other verse is verse 23. For the Lord will pay. He's repeating himself again here.
That's right.
How many of you know when the Lord repeats something, we ought to pay attention to it?
Oh, yes.
For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Now, we're talking about, let's get beyond the natural house here. What is the New Testament definition of a temple, a house? Me.
Yes.
You.
Right.
I am the temple. Ye are the temple of the Lord. That's why we don't go and pollute this temple with the activities of the world. That's why we don't pollute this house through the ear gate with the hearing of some of the music that does not edify the Lord. It pollutes the temple. That's why we don't allow the pollution to come through the eyes, to feast our eyes on pornography or whatever it is that's not edifying to the Lord. It pollutes the temple. Hallelujah.
Oh, come on.
So, this temple, this spiritual temple, now let's talk about the blood on the spiritual temple. Across the lintel. Where's my natural lintel of this spiritual temple? It's my forehead. It's my mind. Is it not?
Thank you. Yes, right.
That means my mind has to be covered by the blood.
That's right.
My thinking process. Well, I can't help the devils make suggestions. No, but you can stop them as soon as you're aware that they're there.
Come on. There you go. Thank you, Jesus.
No, come on. I'm serious. We are going to have to control the thinking of our minds in these last days because these devils have been let loose from the pit. And they're everywhere. And only by having our mind stayed on Christ are we ever going to make it. The lintel and the side posts. Look at me. Where are the side posts? My arms and my legs. What do my arms and legs speak of? My arms. The deeds, the things that I do with my hands. The legs, the places I go. It might speak of my car, where I drive to. I mean, I don't walk everywhere I go. The distances are too great. I don't do near enough walking, by the way. But this is what it speaks of. That activity has to be under the blood if I'm going to make it through that night. It's coming a terrible night. Now, before we pass on from here, I want to take you down to verse 29. Hallelujah. And it came to pass that at midnight, how many of you know what midnight is?
12:00.
Midnight spiritually means the darkest hour. How many of you know there's a spiritual midnight coming?
Oh, yes.
The darkest hour. At midnight, the cry went out among the virgins. The bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. At midnight, brethren, you're going to find out whether you're ready to go out to meet him or whether you're not. Some of God's people found out that they weren't ready to go out to meet him. What were they lacking?
Oil.
Oil means what?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit where?
In your heart.
in their soul. Their spirit was going out, and they had no reserve in their vessel, in their soul. How do you get Holy Spirit in your soul? By feeding upon the Lord. By feeding upon the Word of the Lord. By communion. By watching and praying. It all ties together. The Word of God is all saying the same thing. There's no disagreement here in the Word of God. And it came to pass at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Everything of earth was included. This must have been Pharaoh's son that he was grooming to become the next king. He was the heir. The firstborn is the heir to the throne. God went after him. Said, no, I'm taking him.
Every heir to the throne that was not of the Lord Jesus.
Every heir to every throne that isn't Jesus' throne.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, brother. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a, listen to this, and there was a great cry in Egypt. I'm telling you, brethren, the world is going to scream. The world is going to scream. The world is going to cry. We want our lifestyle back. And they'll go for the man of sin that will offer them that opportunity. At midnight. There was not a house where there was not one dead. You know, brethren, I have an understanding a little bit of this, that there is not a house. I have been in Ukraine, which was part of the Soviet Union. And I have talked to people, it's been many years since I've been there, but years since I've heard some of the stories of the older ones. Some of them are dead now and can no longer tell their story. Okay? But they began to tell me the things that happened to their families as a result of Stalin. He was a brutal, vicious, vicious man. And I don't care who hears this. It is the truth. I came to the realization that there was not one family in all of that land that was not hurt by the rule of Stalin. Killed. Family members, sons, killed by the brutality of that man. Wicked. Wicked. Not one family. There is not a family there that you couldn't sit down with and say, tell me about the history of the last 70, 80 years since that revolution of 1917. That's 90 years already, isn't it? 91 years ago. They'll tell you about uncles that were slain, beheaded, because they would not submit. They'll tell you about Christians that were sent. I remember interviewing this old man. He was 80 years old. Stalin sent him to the Gulag in the Ural Mountains, slave camp. And he had just gotten out of a German prison camp in the Polish area. He'd just gotten out of that. And he got home, no more than got home, and Stalin was after him. And he said, no, I will not go. I will not kill my fellow man. One of the one group that was after him if you refused, they were in competition again. Who was gonna get all the young men on their side of the conflict? It's the same kind of thing going on in Kenya today. It's going on there. The bandidos versus the Stalinists. If you refuse the bandidos, they kill you right away. Chop your head right off. Stalin, vicious, but practical. Oh, I'll put them in a camp. I'll get 10 years out of them before they die. They'll work for me, they'll cut wood, they'll supply my railroads, they'll do thus and thus. But they'll die. They figured a slave was good for about 10 years, if he could make it 10 years in those camps. They wouldn't feed him, not much. He told me, a little handful of grain. What are those? Nettles. They could eat nettles. Oh, nettles. You know what those nettles are?
Yeah.
Stinging. You have to boil them or something. What did you sleep on? Slept on straw. Oh, praise God. At least you had a nice bed. No, the straw was full of fleas.
Exactly.
We had to soak it down with water every night or we couldn't stand it to keep the fleas away.
Oh, Lord,
have wow. I'm talking about persecution. Why? The man wept as he told the story. He wept. His daughter was there. She'd say, he can't go on. No, he'd say, I want to go on. And there was, Oksana, my translator, was there translating every word that he was saying to us. And finally he said, Stalin tried to kill me, but God wouldn't have let him. God would not let him kill me. And he came home, finally, to give his testimony. I tell you what, that man is in glory today. Oh, hallelujah. Well, let me get back to old Pharaoh here. Pharaoh was a man of probably a very similar spirit to this despot. Amen? There was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people. Get out of here. I don't want you anymore. You belong to that God. I can't take him anymore. Both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone. And what's this other little statement here? And bless me also.
Please.
And bless me also. I mean, the man must have finally recognized there's something about this God. I don't want to be on the wrong side of him anymore. I'm not going to accept him, but you guys get out of here. Oh, leave me a little blessing on the way out, would you? Oh, yes. Bless me, too, on the way out. Hallelujah. Well, while we're on the children of Israel, let's do one more. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16. Now, I'm telling you, these are God's people. God makes a covenant with His people that He will preserve you in the coming storm. You know, I don't like listening to weather men any better than you do. There's a guy saying that there's snow coming again Sunday night and into Monday. I don't like to hear that. What do I do about it? Turn the radio off. Don't listen to that guy anymore. You know what? Wake up Monday morning, there's snow. The fact that I turned it off and refused to listen to the guy didn't change the fact that it's coming. He's still saying it. I'm just not listening to it anymore. But it comes. I might as well listen. I might as well take heed. God has a way to preserve us from the coming storm. He has a way to feed us. He has a way to clothe us. He has a way to get us away from the death spirit. Amen. He said that the destroyer was going to be loosed that night. The destroyer. But he said, I will pass over you. Now my understanding of that, you can tell me I'm wrong, I don't care, but my understanding is when God says, I will pass over you, He means, I will cover you. I will shield you like an umbrella.
Thank you.
I will pass over you, and the destroyer that I am releasing from the abyss just for tonight, giving him instructions, he may have the firstborn in Egypt of every place except where the blood is.
That's right.
And when that unclean devil comes to the house to kill the firstborn and he encounters the blood, what is he encountering? What is in the blood? The life is in the blood. And when he hits that blood, he's hitting light. Blinding light. If that lamb blood is a token of Jesus Christ, it's going to be a blinding light that that devil can't stand. Do you understand why we have to have not just the token, but the reality of Jesus Christ in us? It's going to be a blinding light that those devils won't be able to penetrate. That's why we need to walk in His ways. Listen, brethren, this is very positive. This is very positive. I can't stop what the weatherman is saying. Well, there is something coming. He's not entirely wrong. There is a storm coming. I don't know when, but I know that I want to be in the house where the blood is on the house. And I want to be in the ark, too. And there's lots of types of places that I want to be. I want to be in Christ. I want to be in the Holy of Holies. I want to be where the mercy seat is.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, those all mean the same thing. Okay, now, just a little something. They got hungry when they got out there, didn't they? Chapter 16. And being people of great faith, as soon as they got hungry, they began to praise the Lord. They began to thank the Lord. They began to remember how He brought them across the Red Sea, how He opened up the waters and let them walk through on dry. They just remembered all those things, didn't they? Oh yeah, wouldn't that be nice if they had? My, how quickly we forget the goodness of the Lord. Brethren, have you remembered the things of God? Have you remembered the goodness of the Lord? And how He's just dealt so bountifully with you? How He's delivered you from time of trouble?
Oh, yes.
How He got you out of the last scrape that you were in? Oh, you didn't like the way He got you out of that last scrape, did you?
I did.
Oh, but it was His mercy. If He had allowed you to continue in that direction that you were going, you'd be headed for the pit.
Oh, yes. I was only in there.
But He got you out of it, didn't He? Amen?
I was only in there.
I think somebody's identifying with something that we're saying here today. Amen? So they got hungry. And we're looking for it. Verse 4, I think it will be. We'll start with verse 4. Chapter 16, let's start with verse 2. My goodness, it tells how they're giving praise and thanking the Lord. It says here, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured. That doesn't sound like giving praise and thanksgiving, does it? Murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. You know, if you're murmuring against Moses, who are you really murmuring against? You're murmuring against the Lord, because it was the Lord that told Moses to take them out there, isn't it? So they murmured against the Lord. Have you ever complained to the Lord?
No.
Come on, be honest.
No.
Sure. We've complained, haven't we? We've been guilty of murmuring. By the way, do you know the difference between murmuring and screaming? The word murmur, I looked it up a long time ago. The word murmur speaks of the flowing of a little brook. The quiet murmuring of a brook as it flows along over the stones and over the rocks, it makes little sounds. You may not hear it when you get very far away. It's not like a bomb or a siren or anything going off, but it continues. It just goes on and on. They never have any of them. So why don't they do this and that? They never have any of that enough. I never have enough of that. Oh, then, you know, well, why don't the elders do this and this? You know, it's murmuring.
Why didn't Moses think about this? He brought us out here. He could have told us to bring more food with us. What is he thinking about? How long are we going to be out here? Are we there yet, Mom? Are we there? No. That's murmuring. That's complaining. Amen. We murmured and complained when we were children. Oh, it says, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of... I mean, they wanted to... What? They wanted to die with the firstborn of Egypt?
What?
Well, what kind of talk is this? What kind of talk is this? What kind of guarding our mind are these kind of thoughts? Where are these suggestions coming from?
Devil.
Come on, brethren, when you're tempted to talk this way, you better start putting the devil down. Would to God we had died in Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots. What's a flesh pot? It's where we're cooking our meat. Oh, I remember the steaks we used to have back in Egypt. Oh, I remember how it was when we were back in the world. Oh, man, we'd go out every Friday night and yada, 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 and come home broken with a hangover and everything. You forget about that part of it. Yeah, okay. We sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, oh, yeah, we were full. We had a good time, didn't we? Oh, yes. Give me a break. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. I suggest that there were some activists among them that were stirring them up. I like to think that there were probably a couple of wannabe politicians among them that were suggesting, hey, vote for me and I'll take you back to Egypt. You know, let's give Moses a vote of no confidence or something here. Come on, he doesn't know what he's doing. Well, he's been out in the desert too long. He doesn't understand us Egyptian thinking people. You know, he's something else now. He used to be with us, but he doesn't think like us anymore. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Guys, I mean, God was merciful. He overlooked their murmuring. How much more would the Lord have appreciated had they come with praise and thanksgiving and said, oh, God, we know you're able to do it. You know, brethren, I'm telling you something. We're going to come to this place where we need food. Before this storm is over, you're going to come to the place. You will not be able to store enough of everything you need. You will for a little while. But you're going to come to the place when you're going to have to call on the Lord, and you better not do it with murmuring. You better say, "My brethren, we'd better learn to walk by faith." That's the point I'm trying to make. We know how to murmur. But we better stop murmuring. And we better start learning to obtain by thanking the Lord. Bless the Lord. You always give us everything that we need. Dear Lord, oh my goodness, it's happened. I mean, it didn't just happen here in the book of Exodus. It happened for years. Anybody read the story of Mueller, the man in England that started all those orphanages? He did it all by faith, feeding hundreds of orphans. All by faith. And by the way, this is before the days of government handouts. Oh no, there was none of that. No Social Security, nothing. Did it by faith. I remember one time read the book, get George Mueller, something of faith. What did they call it? Apostle Faith or something like that?
What's your last name?
Mueller. Mueller. George Mueller. He lived in England. More than 100 years ago. I remember they set the table one time with dishes. No food. No food. All these children sitting around the table. No food. Nothing in the kitchen. Lord, we thank you for the provision that you've made for us. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. By the time, before they got done praying, there was a knock on the door. God had spoke to the baker. Give them all your bread. So I forget. Maybe the details are wrong, but that's the principles, the way it happened. Haven't you read that book? You remember that, sister, don't you? Yes.
A knock on the door.
A Bread came from heaven. Never ask for anything. Never ask. Always prayed it in. And I'll bet he did it with thanksgiving.
That's right.
Yes. Not with complaining and murmuring. You never give us enough, Lord. You know? Oh my, that isn't the way to get his attention. Hallelujah. Verse 13 and 15, I see we're running up against our time here. And it came to pass at even. All right, so he rained bread from heaven. And it came... We're in chapter 16. Oh, I didn't finish verse 4. I will rain bread upon from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. You know, when we suffer need, it's God proving us. He's proving us whether we're going to walk in His ways or not. Another reason not to murmur and complain, because you failed the test. You come through with praise and thanksgiving, and you maybe pass the test.
There you go, that's right.
And it's guarding the mind.
Yes.
And the way we're going to think about it. The way we're going to handle these situations, brethren, yes, is going to be whether the Lord is in charge of our mind or not.
Talk about it, yes.
Okay, verse 13. And it came to pass that at even, they're begging for flesh now, that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host, and when the dew that lay was gone, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wist not what it was. In other words, the word manna means, what is it? It's what is it? Let's go get some of that. What is it? Literally translated. Give me a cup full of what is it, would you? What's it? We don't know what to call it. Manna was their word for it. And they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." Brethren, oh, God is able to supply all our needs. I have twice as much to say. We're going to have to get to it next time. Is there any question so far about what we've said? Do you understand what God is saying clearly? God has a place for us in this coming storm that He will protect us. If we come in to Him on His terms, under the blood, into partaking and participating as a covenant son, brethren. Bottom line. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Bless you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Amen.
Thank you.